Take your Bibles, turn to Proverbs chapter 5. Proverbs chapter 5. We are going to continue our study in the book of Proverbs, but we're changing topics or subjects, or I'm not sure what word you want to use there, but we are going to, as you have seen, we're kind of going through the book of Proverbs topic by topic and just kind of giving a quick overview, mainly just out of the book of Proverbs, but tonight I think it important. We're going to start for several weeks on the topic of work or labor in Proverbs. Work or labor in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 5, look at verse number, number 3. We're going to read through verse 10, and then I'll introduce this. For the lips of a strange woman drop as an honeycomb, and her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Sounds like somebody recently in the news. Her feet go down to death, her steps take hold on hell. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, that thou canst not know them. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, and depart not from the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house. Watch this. Lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. God gave us the Bible to teach us how to live. The Bible says, man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That means everything we need to know to live and to live right is found here in the Bible. That's why man shouldn't mess with God's words. That's why we ought to give God the credit for the words and not man. I was listening to what they call Christian radio the other day, and every once in a while they've got something decent on there, some of the old timers, but I was listening to one of the old timers and he was squawking about, well, Paul says here, and the authorized version says this, but these translators say this, and I went, click, click. I don't know what he said because I didn't get any further. Can I tell you something? Everything you need to know is in the Bible. We are not to look at fellow man to see how we're supposed to be. Especially, we're not to follow fellow man, fellow lost man. We're to use God's words as our guide. Folks, man did a whole lot better when we used that as our guidebook. We didn't have troubles knowing which bathroom to use when we lived by that book. Amen. We didn't have many of the issues we have today when even unsaved people respected that book. Did you ever notice that in the Constitution, the word divine, the word God, the word creator are all capitalized in reference to God? It doesn't say that we had a divine evolver. So, the Bible, along with the Holy Spirit, is our guide to show us how to live. Now, work is not a curse. I expected a little better response than that. Work is not a curse. God made man to work. He put man in the garden to work it, to name the animals, to organize them. And I don't think you understand. God didn't just bring them by and say, okay, call that one a giraffe, and call that one a rhino, and call that one a monkey, and call that one this. Adam had to do more than just name it. He had to draw a picture of it. He had to know what it looked like. He had to categorize it. He had to know the difference between the male of that and the female because they looked different. There had to be some filing and organization because how did he know that he hadn't named it something else before? There's a lot to it that we don't understand. So there was more to it than just naming the animals. He had to understand the plants, which ones were good, which ones were not, eventually. And all that, man never was an evolutionary caveman, discovering things on his own. Man did not discover fire. God showed him how to make it. We in our generation, do you know that cavemen did not come into existence until after evolution? You see, God taught man what he needed to know and what he needed to know to live and be productive on the earth. Now, Henry Ford said, "There will never be a system which will do away with the necessity of work. Work is our sanity, our self-respect, our salvation. So far from being a curse, work is the greatest blessing. The man who contributes much should take away much." God gave, listen to this, I'm working on a sermon. This is going to be in it, so you get a preview of it, all right? This is revolutionary. If you're a soul winner, this will help you. God gave man the desire and the responsibility of work. That's God-given. Do you know that laziness is sinful? Because it's against what God made man to be. A true man or a true person of character isn't satisfied just sitting there doing nothing. Somebody kindly asked me when I was going to ever take a two-week vacation. I said the world couldn't handle me for 2 weeks. It ain't going to happen for an awful long time. Someday maybe, but you couldn't get me away from work that long. It's just not in me. But let me say this. This is why works are not to be a part of salvation. See, man was made to work, but salvation is not by works of our righteousness, which we have done. Now watch this. That means works would be part of man's solution. It's not part of God's solution. Do you know that every false religion is based on works? Every one of them. I don't care if it's Catholic, I don't care if it's Baptist, I don't care if it's Pentecostal, I don't care if it's Jewish, don't care if it's Hindu, don't care if it's Muslim, don't care if it's Shinto, don't care if it's Buddhist. Every one of them is based on works. Man's religion is based on works because God made man to work. That's why man thinks he's got to do it himself. It goes all the way back to Cain. God didn't respect Cain's sacrifice because it was of his own work. It wasn't the blood sacrifice God required. So works are not part of salvation. And that's why man's religion is based on works. God's salvation is based on salvation by grace through faith. Now, God has put, though, into every man a desire to work and to succeed and to build and to grow. And most men to tear down and to tear down and to blow up things. There is much in the Bible about work. But we will stay mainly in the book of Proverbs and see what God says. Now, I've gone through Proverbs. I've looked up every verse in the order, put them in the order that they appear. There's no other order that I'm using. It's not order of importance. It's not, well, this should have gone first. You know, people that say that really don't know what they're talking about. God put it in the order he wanted. End of discussion. It doesn't have to make sense to us. It's just the way I've done it. I've looked up the words work, works, labor, laboreth, labors, that type of thing. And it's mentioned 19 times in the book of Proverbs. We're going to look at all 19 of those, not tonight. We'll get through about 5 or 6 of them maybe tonight, and then we'll pick up next time I am here. But Proverbs chapter 5, verses 3 through 10, you see in verse number 10, "Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger." Don't waste your work on the wrong people. Don't waste your work on the wrong people. Everybody listen to me very carefully here. If you read the first part of Proverbs chapter 5 here, it's talking about the strange woman. Did you know marrying the wrong person wastes your labor?
You're right.
You will waste your money, you'll waste your time, you'll waste your work on something that eventually often falls apart in divorce. Or you've wasted your money on somebody that won't deal wisely, and now you're spending more for upkeep than it should be. Marrying the wrong person, you will work to supply the needs of a person who wastes your money. Plain and simple. Alimony is expensive. Child support is expensive. You had no idea that was already prepared. Never mind. It was an inside joke here. But anyway, those things are expensive. And that's a waste of money. Had you waited and married the right person the right way, those things don't happen. The wrong crowd will eat up your money. And don't get mad at me here. I wonder how many of, I'll say you because I've never been to one of these, I wonder how much money has been wasted at rock concerts by the people in this room. I wonder how much money's been wasted on alcohol or cigarettes from people in this room. I wonder how much money's been wasted on CDs and tapes and things of worldly musicians. I wonder how many people in here have bought gifts, and sometimes expensive gifts, for people that you were dating or wanting to date, and it all went south. We've wasted a lot of money on things that weren't the right crowd. Let me put it down to where we all live. I wonder how much money you pay to your creditors that you shouldn't have to pay. Credit card companies make a lot of money, and you waste a lot of your wealth. 20 to 30% interest. You say, well, but I got what I wanted. Yeah, and you're paying for it five times. That $100 thing you'll pay $500 for if you pay your credit card bill off over time. Guaranteed five times minimum. But I got to have it right now. Okay, but you're going to pay for it five times and waste your wealth. Your labor to build others' coffers and not your own because you're so indebted to the wrong crowd. People will buy and expand and get bigger and get more and get fancier. And I'm not against those things if you can afford it and you have time to live in what you just got. I know people that they buy a big house and then both husband and wife work and nobody lives in the house that they just bought. It becomes a hotel. They check in, check out when they can. So wasting our money on the wrong people. Teach young people, teach people not to waste their money on wrong relationships. Can I tell you something? Wrong relationships waste a lot of money. And I've got to hurry. I don't want to spend a lot of time on that one, though I should. I'm not going to. Proverbs chapter 8. There's more that I want to get to here. Proverbs chapter 8, look at verse number 19. And I think this will be refreshing principle for you. Proverbs 8, 19. My fruit is better than gold, yea, than fine gold. Verse 20. I lead in the way of righteousness in the midst of the paths of peace of judgment, that I may cause those that love me to inherit substance, and I will fill their treasures. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning, or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water, before the mountains were settled, before the hills was I brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. I want you to notice something. Next is this. God is a worker. God is a worker. Notice it talks about his works of old, and it's in reference to creation. We're going to use our Bibles for a second here. Turn to Genesis chapter 1. Most of you can find that. That's the first book of the Bible, first chapter. All right? Did you find it yet, Ellen? Working on it, huh? Just look off of Marsh's. Genesis chapter 1, look at verse number 31. And God saw everything that he had made. And behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Verse number 1 of chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished. And by the way, finished, not evolved. And all the host of them. And on the seventh day, God ended. What's the next two words? His work, which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. God worked at creation. Everything that we have in this earth, God made. He designed it before creation. Then he created what he designed. And the Bible says he worked those 6 days. Isn't it amazing if you could make the entire earth in 6 days? Can you imagine what God can do in thousands of years? I don't know if you've traveled the country like I have, but man, the diversity of this country, the diversity of things from around the world. You look at just our area here, the mountains, the hills, the creeks, the rivers, the valleys that are through here, and we're in West Virginia, the hollers. You look at the different animal life, the plant life, all that goes with it. Now, the Bible says God worked at creation and even before creation. He was there in the beginning, and those are his works of old. Now, Genesis chapter 2, verse number 15. And the Lord God took man and put him in the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat. Once you notice something, we were made in God's image, so we were made to work. We were made to work. Then Genesis chapter 3, look at verse 17. Genesis chapter 3, verse 17. This is going to get down to where we all live. And unto Adam, this is after man sinned, he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree, of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. Now, man's labor became harder, and man's labor became cursed because of sin. Notice this is in reference to man's work. I am going to punch Adam out when we get to heaven. Every drop of sweat that I've had in these temperatures is from Adam. But not only that, the Bible says thorns, thistles, weeds, all of that came about because of Adam. That is the curse placed on the earth. Everybody look at me. I love you. I'm not against anybody that believes in everything all natural. But may I say this, most of what people think are all natural came because of sin. Because most of it comes from weeds. It really does. And the ground from which it came is cursed. The earth itself is cursed. And I don't, you say, well, you'll live healthy, you'll live longer. But healthy people die too. Well, none of us are going to live forever. I'm sorry, I'll use two old preachers on this because I think it's funny. Brother Roloff was virtually a vegetarian and ate fish a little bit. Brother Roloff believed in what he called the heavenly diet. Well, God bless him, he used to look at Brother Hiles and say, Brother Hiles, Brother Jack, the way you eat, you're going to die early. And he'd say, Brother Lester, the way you fly, you're going to die early. And Brother Lester died in a plane crash. Can I tell you something? We're all going to die. Period. Now, whether you believe one's better than the other, that's fine. Well, I don't believe in chemicals. That's fine. But the chemicals came out of the same ground that your weeds were grown from. I'm just telling you, you can choose what you want. I won't be upset with anybody. If you choose to drink that barley green junk and make it, you know, anything looks like it came out of a diaper should not be consumed by humans. I'm sorry. Just And God bless you. If you can get it down the hatch, go for it. If you want to chew on tree bark, have at it. If you want to pick up the weeds and eat it, go for it. I'm not. You say, well, preacher, you're not going to be healthy. But I'm going to die happy. You die happy, I'll die happy, we'll all be happy. Amen? Sin caused man's work to be harder on man, and it's because of sin that man hates work. Man has become a hater of work due to sin. You take a man that's happy in his work, I'll show you a man that's very content. Guaranteed. So, God is a worker. Number three, I got to hurry here. Proverbs chapter 10. These are going to get better on you, I promise. Proverbs chapter 10, look at verse number 16. The labor of the righteous tendeth to life, the fruit of the wicked to sin. Next, work tendeth to life. I'm using a direct phrase here. Work tends or tendeth to life. The word tendeth means nurtures, pays attention to, or aids in the success of. In other words, work aids in the success of life. Work pays attention to life. Part of what we do, okay, safety is a part of tending to life in your work. I'm for safety features. If you've never worked in a shop, you don't know what I'm talking about, but my daddy taught me a long time ago when I went to go work in a machine shop, he said, son, I'll give you one bit of advice. Those machines don't care whether they cut steel or they cut you, and they don't feel any pain. And once they start cutting on you, they're going to cut you like they do the steel and never shed a tear. He said, you better respect them that way. And I watched a lot of things happen and came close on a couple calls and watched a lot of things explode in machines, and I learned real fast what that meant. Can I tell you something? There's safety buttons on machines for a reason. There's reasons you shouldn't cut some of those things off. There's reasons you shouldn't overstep and hang off the edge of a ladder and do certain things. I know a man that's been bound into a wheelchair for about 25 years now. He was a painter. He was doing an overreach, leaned out like this, slipped off the ladder, fell, and hit his neck on the edge of a air conditioning unit, and he's been a quadriplegic ever since. He only fell about 6 or 8 feet. It's not like he fell 100 feet. I know another guy was working on a scaffolding up on one of the skyscrapers in Chicago and fell over 35 stories with his boss off of one of those things. And he broke both of his legs and broke an arm and a bunch of ribs. He lived. His boss laid there dead. And he was a gang member and then got saved after that. So I've seen both extents of that. Work gives life and better quality of life to people. Now, please don't get angry with me. Anybody that doubts this, I am not a racial person. So if you think this is a racial thing, fix your attitude, because it's not that. But listen to this very carefully here. Higher crime in no work areas or high welfare areas is high crime because people aren't working. The answer isn't give people more money, it's give them more jobs. Period. It's not the low income, it's the no work. Did you know that, and this is hard for you maybe to believe, that do you know in the last 2 years, crime has been on a decrease because the jobless rate is less, and there's more people employed than before. When you give people a cause for which to work, you'll watch crime decrease. And I don't care if it's a white neighborhood, black neighborhood, green neighborhood, pink neighborhood, brown neighborhood, or any other color. You see, many retired people get sick and die quickly after they retire because they don't do anything to stay busy. They have nothing to live for. I'm not saying that happens all the time, but it happens more frequently. Well, yeah, because they're older. No, I know a lot of people that retired early that died early. You see, work gives life. It tends to life. That's why in low-income areas or low, I'll use the word, low-employment areas, you're going to find a higher crime rate and a higher murder rate. Because their life doesn't tend to life. Everybody doing okay? The liberals won't like that one. Our work is to aid in life, not the destruction of life. Let me stop for a second and say this. That means the work we do ought to enhance life, not take away from life. Now, I do know people that work in the funeral field that are Christians. They're not taking away from life. Those lives are already gone. And they are helping the living, not just that. But what I'm saying is this. When your work involves tearing other people apart, abortion is not tending to life. Be careful what you have professional gamers out there. They live to play video games. And most of their video games are death and destruction and violence. They'd rather play than work. Crime keeps people from work, and it robs others of their work. Do you know that crime itself keeps people from working? If you get thrown in jail, you're not going to be able to go to work. And if you're in jail and you get out, it's harder to get a job. So crime keeps people from working, which keeps them from living at a better lifestyle. Boy, that's good logic. I got to hurry here. Number four, because I really want to get to this point, I think. Yes. Proverbs chapter 11, look at verse number 18. The wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. I love this. Don't take part in any deceitful work. Now, everybody look at me. I love you. Don't take part in any work that involves deceit. Deceit means lying. It means scams or schemes. It means taking something from someone that they think they're getting, like casinos and gambling. Alcohol. Now, let me say this. Used car salesmen are known for what? Lying. But there, a lot of sales involves lying. Advertisement often involves deceit. That doesn't mean every advertiser is a liar. But many use it to deceive people to get them in. Everybody doing okay? Scams. Can I tell you something? And I'm not going to name any companies, though I could name probably a half a dozen without even thinking. Pyramid sales companies are deceitful. Period. And I don't care whether they say they're Christian or not. Somebody is raking money in off of the back of simple people that don't realize they're padding somebody else's pocket. Be careful. Say, well, I'd never get involved in alcohol. May I say this? That means whether you're working where they make it, whether you're working where they ship it, or whether you have to check it out at the cash register. I wouldn't do it. That's deceitful. Good, clean work is good for anyone who'll do it. Now, I'm going to say something here that might surprise you. Work comes in many forms, though. There is more work than just physical labor. Physical labor is the most basic form of labor. But there is other forms of labor. Did you know there is mental labor? Come walk around with me for a week and I'll show you what mental labor is. Guarantee it. You sit through about 10, 12 hours of counseling in a week, and I'll find out, tell you how wore out you'll be. remember one time my dad got into a situation and he didn't realize he was getting into a counseling situation, and he got into a counseling situation, called me and said, uh-oh, I'm in way over my head. We got through it. It wasn't in reference to our church. It was a long time ago. And he said, learn my lesson, not doing that again. He said, man, that stuff will wear you out. I said, yeah, tell me about it. By the way, I believe children, when they're going to school, whether they're that tall or whether they're a senior in high school, their work is their schoolwork. When I was a Christian school principal, I used to say, if you worked at a job the way you do your schoolwork, most of you couldn't pay your bills. Most of you couldn't eat one meal a week. I believe a child's work is their schoolwork. Everybody doing okay? Housework is work, and it never stops. My wife can get done with the laundry, and the clothes aren't even put away yet, and I've got more clothes in the basket. It doesn't stop. It's one of those things, it just does not stop. You know, the dust doesn't stop just because you want it to. The dirt on the floor doesn't stop just because you want it to. That's why you take your shoes off when you walk in the door. Can I tell you something? The work outside doesn't stop. The grass keeps growing. The weeds keep needing pulled. The water needs rearranged around the house so it doesn't come in the house. If you got shingles that blew off, you need to get them fixed so that it doesn't come through the house. You've got this that goes wrong and that goes wrong, and the drains get plugged up and you got to fix those, and on, and it doesn't stop. You're never going to have something that's maintenance free unless you hired somebody to take care of all of it for you. It's just not going to happen. But may I say this, don't judge someone else's work by the work that you do. Just because you can go out and do this for work and this person can't do that doesn't mean that you're a better worker than they are. Because I'll show you where they excel that you couldn't keep up with them. Guarantee it. Work comes in many fashions. Everybody doing all right? Okay. Work needs to be a reward, not a punishment. When you're training children, work is a reward, not a punishment. We've made work a punishment. If you don't do this, I'm going to make you go out and do this. That's the wrong way to portray work. When my kids were growing up, my wife would say, if you don't go out and do that, then somebody else is going to do it for you, and you're not going to get the benefit. My kids used to almost fight to work. So work is a reward, and don't get involved in deceitful work. Ponzi schemes and banking schemes, money-making schemes, don't get involved in them. Don't participate in working with them, and don't be a contributor to them. I was trying to think of something nice to say about that. And I'll get into that in the next point here. Look at Proverbs chapter 13. Look at verse number 11. I love this, how this ties together. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 11. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be what? Diminished. But he that gathereth by labor shall increase. No lasting wealth comes without work. No lasting wealth comes without work. Now, let me start by saying this. Get rich quick or get rich easy is money that will not last. Do you know that 90%, and I think it's even higher than that, I think the last time I saw was like 93% of the people that win the lottery are bankrupt in 12 to 14 months? Bankrupt. They spend it all. Doesn't matter how much they make. Cheating people or doing vain things to get money will not satisfy. I hope this isn't a bad word, because this is what I grew up calling them. Carnies. If people that worked at the carnivals and the fairs and the circuses. We used to call them carnies. I don't know if that's a bad word or not, but I don't think it is. They make their money by deceit. Vain deceit. Card games. Guess your weight. Scramble the little things and find the ball under the nut or whatever. Squirrel. All right. You never see any of those people that are rich. You never find one of them that have two nickels to rub together. Say why? Because wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished. You get enough to make it through and you spend everything you have and go on and find enough money to get through another day. That means this. We need to teach people how to work and quit giving them everything.
Brother Roloff used to say, welfare is neither well nor fair. And it's very true. You don't take from one to give to the other. I believe you ought to teach children to work for what they have. They shouldn't be given everything. They ought to be taught to save. I remember my mom and dad taking me over to Harder Bank or Citizens Bank. I can't remember which one it was. And got my first savings account. Little maroon colored little savings book. Probably hadn't, the only money in it was the money my mom and dad gave me, but I had one. And every time I earned money, we had to give some to the Lord, give some to savings, and then you got to spend a little bit of it. Teach them to save. Teach them how to spend wisely. Sometimes you got to let your kids spend money on things that you wouldn't buy, but they want it. And once they got it for a while, they decide they don't want it. But they already bought it, and welcome to spending your money. And you say, well, I'll just give them their money back. Wrong answer. Make them work. Make them earn every penny back. Every penny. See, we have multi-generations of people that don't know how to work.
Welfare came out under FDR in the 1930s. We have lived 90 years under welfare, and we have more people that are poverty-stricken than we did in the 1930s. Did it work?
Our former president said, you'll never have 4% GDP. Well, we've had 3 quarters this year that are over 4%. Amen. He said, you'll never get unemployment. Remember when we were at 6 and 7%? He said, this is the new norm. Well, we're under 4% now. Amen. President Trump has cut it in half in 2 years, and we're just getting it started.
And as all he did was start peeling off the regulations and start making good deals and start... Did you ever notice you don't hear anything more about this trade thing with China? Did you hear just this in the last 7 days, China just opened up about $80 billion worth of trade that they're going to buy from the United States because of this trade stuff? Got rid of NAFTA, brought manufacturing jobs back to the United States, and Canada and Mexico are both happy. And guess what? President Trump's right. Mexico will pay for the wall by trade.
I believe we got to teach people to obey God with their money. I believe it's important to teach people to obey God with their money.
I am not hard on the topic of tithing. I just believe we got to obey God in all areas of our life. I believe when we do, God takes care of what we cannot do. I think we need to teach people to spend right. I think we need to teach people how to save right. I think we need to teach people how to obey. That's what this is talking about. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 11. Wealth gotten by vanity shall be diminished. That's why when a kid gets money for Christmas or their birthday, it's gone real fast. It's gotten through vanity. Now, I'm not against giving a child money. Don't get me wrong. But I think the bulk of what they get ought to be earned. They had to learn how to work for it. Boy, that's good stuff. Amen, preacher. All right. I'll give you one more, and I'll quit for the night. Proverbs chapter 14, look at verse number 23. In all labor there is profit, but the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. Work is better than talk. work is better than talk. Now, to save my own skin, much of my work is talk. But I don't talk about work, I do work. Every kind of work gives profit. Notice it says, verse 23, in all labor there is profit. If you work a job, you get a wage. I believe if someone works, they ought to receive a wage. You say, what was your first job, preacher? Mowing grass and shoveling snow. Walked the neighborhood finding the folks that didn't, or were either too old to mow their grass or didn't want to mow it, and I pushed a lawnmower and got $4 or $5 a yard. I was up to mowing somewhere in the ballpark of between 8 and 10 acres a week with a push mower with all the different yards I mowed. At the age of 13, earned in one summer $350 to go on a trip to Mexico with Bearing Precious Seed, where I surrendered to preach. Say, how'd you do it? Mowing grass, pushing stupid lawnmower, shoveling snow till you couldn't stand up. I remember I got $10 one time for shoveling a driveway. We had about 30 inches of snow, and I thought I was a millionaire. I did. I thought, man, I had just died and gone to heaven because I got 10 bucks. I remember the first time I got $5 for mowing somebody's yard, I thought, man, I'm going to pay my college bill before I ever get there. Wrong answer. You know, every kind of work is profitable. It pays money. It also gives you experience. Do you know, I earned a lot of experience dealing with people, mowing grass, shoveling snow, being kind to somebody. There was days my dad would say, hey, I need you to go over there and shovel so-and-so's driveway and don't take any money for it. Yes, sir. It was somebody that didn't have it. I didn't know it, but later he made up for it. It's all right. I need to learn how to do it, whether I got paid or not. Say, did you charge? Nope, my dad taught me. You just go to the door and say, I'll do the work. You pay me what you think it's worth. He said, if you make 50 cents, great. If you make 50 bucks, great. He said, it'll all balance out one of these days. He was right. Never set a price. Never once. If nothing else, your work will make you stronger. I did get stronger. Got hot, too. You know, some people talk about work, but they do very little work. They talk about all the things they've done, but they don't do much now. Let me give you another quote from Henry Ford. The man who comes to the day's job feeling that no matter how much he may give, it will not yield him enough in return to keep him beyond want is not in shape to do his day's work. But if a man feels that his day's work is not only supplying his basic needs, but is also giving him a margin of comfort and enabling him to give his family some pleasure in life, then his job looks good to him and he is free to give his best. That's a pretty wise statement right there. You may not know this, but the 40-hour work week, actually the 48-hour work week, came by Henry Ford. Henry Ford employed every kind of person. He believed that everybody should have a job. He employed convicts. He employed blind people. He employed deaf people. He employed deaf-blind people. He employed one-armed people. He employed one-legged people. He employed people that didn't have any legs. He had jobs for everybody to do. He did a study on every one of his plants, knowing that this job only requires a right hand, so if I have one person that has one hand, they could do that job no matter what. When his employees got sick, they would take work to the hospitals where they were at, and it was a proven fact his employees recovered 35% faster than everybody else because they had a job to do while they were there. They wanted to get back to work. It was a proven fact that people healed faster if they had something to do. People who complain about their work never have the profit they want from work. I'm just going to be honest with you.
The more you complain about your work, the less you'll have. That's it. Learn to enjoy it. Old statement, he who likes his job will never work a day of his life. It's true. Now, I get weary. I get tired. I put lots of hours in, and I think I work fairly hard. But I love what I do. I really do. There's nothing I'd rather do. I'm constantly working on sermons. I'm constantly working on truth. I'm constantly working with people. I'm constantly finding something about construction to get done. There's no end to it. I'm constantly counseling. You name it. I enjoy every part of it. I wouldn't want to do anything else. I told the Lord if something happened and I couldn't be in the ministry, just kill me and take me home. I mean that. I have nothing else to live for. This is what I want to do the rest of my life. And have since I was 13 years old. Been doing it a long time. These are the first half dozen or so principles out of the book of Proverbs on work and labor. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe we just need to readjust our attitude on work. Maybe our own or how we deal with other people in their work.